Welcome in to ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. My name is Angelo Carriero, joining you once more on a beautiful Sunday morning in downtown Lexington, Kentucky, here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. You can give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. And we're going to have a fun show today, and this is why. Because I'm going to talk about a little bit about everything when it comes to the sports landscape. Now, there were three sports that we'll hit on briefly in news in on last night. There was Major League Baseball. There was NHL playoff hockey, which is really weird to see live on television. I don't know if you all have clicked over to NBC or wherever they're playing most of their live hockey, but it's a little jarring to see the NHL banners kind of covering the seats and all that. I actually am one of those people that think playoff hockey is a lot of fun, especially the Stanley Cup. There's just something about the crowd and the fans, but without it, it's a little weird. Watched a little bit of the Yankees-Red Sox game last night. There were the UFC fights in which, if you heard, I believe it was Christine Lisi that was just on, that seems like Daniel Cormier, after his loss to Miocic, is going to retire. And it seems like that he has a really good broadcasting career ahead of himself with not only the UFC, but it seems like that he has a potential to become a WWE wrestler as well, which I think is a really interesting career path that he has. He's done a really good job of carving out that second part of his life. So congratulations to Daniel Cormier on a successful career. We're also going to talk about Kentucky lost their top assistant coach in Kenny Payne. Kenny Payne has agreed to a deal with the New York Knicks to become an assistant coach under Tom Thibodeau, which was, I believe, released out on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, that we found out about that news. Yes. And we're going to talk about the effects of that and how it has on Kentucky. We're going to talk about Dame Time, which also yesterday during the afternoon, a nice 2:30 game for a Saturday with the Portland Trailblazers defeating the Memphis Grizzlies to stamp their ticket into the eighth spot, led by no other than former Kentucky basketball player Winion Gabriel. No, Damian Lillard, of course, again, just, I mean, he was also the bubble MVP, giving my top five bubble MVPs as well. And there's a really nice video of Alex Smith that's circulating online. We'll talk about the preview of the NBA playoffs, but first, I want to get to a little segment called The Way I See It. And this is what I wanted to talk about this week, is college football being postponed in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Now, anybody that follows sports that hasn't been living under a rock has known that the Pac-12 and Big Ten not canceling their football seasons, not canceling their fall sports, but postponing fall sports is what they have. And that is something that has been drawn with a lot of ire. It's been very, very controversial because all of the players are saying that they want to play. Now, the Pac-12 is having a really interesting situation in which they have drawn out a line of guidelines for player protective measures to be set up for the players to make sure that they are tested, to make sure that they don't get the coronavirus. And they also wanted to implement social justice, Black Lives Matter incorporation into their football games, much like the NBA has done, and also a little bit of payment or whatnot, but apparently that was the further down on their list. Well, I don't have to worry about it anymore because the Pac-12 said we're not having a season and in the fall, and the Big Ten said that as well. And we still have football for the Big 12. We still have football for the SEC, and we still have football for the ACC. Now, is that going to continue? Why haven't I talked more about college football so far? I'm scared. I'm scared of getting us excited, getting myself excited for a Kentucky football season that is strictly in conference, yet we might not have it. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. I think a lot of people are on edge. I think a lot of people want to see college football, and I'm going to get to that part of it here in a little bit. But I want to read you all something. And this is going to take a minute, but I think it's very important to the conversation that we are having. It is a letter from Penn State parents in the Big Ten. They wrote a letter to the Big Ten about their kids playing football in the fall. So here it is. This is a group of Big Ten parents and their letter. Dear Commissioner Warren and President Barron, on August 5th, when the Big Ten football schedule for the fall of 2020 was released, you said, I have a son who's a football student athlete in the SEC at Mississippi State. And so I've asked myself as a father, would I be comfortable for him to participate in the Big Ten based upon the testings, policies, protocols, procedures that we have in place? And as of today, the answer is yes. We, the undersigned parents of Penn State football, believe you. Additionally, we trusted our coaches along with the medical staff at our university and the procedures they put in place to ensure the physical and social emotional well-being of the players in the pursuit of competing in the fall of 2020. We want to know what changed in 6 days and why this decision rushed before the Big Ten Conference and the NCAA could answer some of the most basic questions regarding the futures of these student athletes. On Tuesday, August 11th, the Big Ten Task Force of Emerging Infectious Disease and the Big Ten Sports Medicine Committee cited ongoing health concerns of COVID-19 as the reason to cancel and protect students, faculty, and staff. However, in the coming weeks, the same institutions will welcome back tens of thousands of students. The student population will gather, socialize, and live in communal settings. The Penn State University Athletic Department, in conjunction with the football medical and training staffs, had led the nation in ensuring safety of the players, our sons, the coaches, and support staff over the last 2 months. Our sons were regularly tested, and contact tracing protocols were developed to ensure player safety, as well as parent confidence. A small number of student athletes were quarantined and isolated as an appropriate response to a positive test result. As of the testing release on Wednesday, August 12th, zero Penn State athletics tested positive for COVID-19. This is proof that minimal risk for the virus can be achieved. We believe these young men and women are being carried for both physical and mentally in a manner that cannot be replicated in our own communities. Our athletes are elite not only in their performance on the field, but in their health status and medical care. The CDC uses 19 to 29-year-olds as a benchmark for fatality comparison. The fatality rate for that group is 0.1% with the preponderance preponderance of fatalities in individuals comorbid conditions. As parents, we deserve answers as whether these decisions are based on science or the avoidance of liability. They requested the following: a presentation of medical information used by Big Ten Task Force in the decision to cancel the fall 2020 season. A reinstatement of the schedule is presented on August 5th with open dates as new guidelines, and a Zoom meeting with the parents. And they go on to say that they want a response in 5 days. But essentially, these parents are said, the parents of these students, which to me is the number one barometer of a temperature check in situations involving student athletes. We've seen the response to Kentucky high school football. It's going to be continuing. It was delayed a couple of weeks. A game or two was shaved off the schedule. But as of right now, Kentucky high school football would be played. Do I think that'll continue? I don't know. But I have a feeling that when push comes to shove, the concern is going to outweigh the positives of playing. College football, can I say the same for that? I don't know. I really think that the SEC has a really good idea of what's going on. I think when the contact tracing comes, it's really hard to the point of the letters, is that people keep using the example of students coming back on campus as the reason why they should be able to play college football. By the way, I'm Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FN. You can give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313 to discuss college football landscape as it looks right now. But I do think with the students coming back on campus, there is a COVID liability, of course. I think it's absolutely going to spread throughout college campuses that open up their doors to students in person all across the nation. But the point of this continuality of playing football and that comparison, and by the way, we have a caller on the line, just remember, I'm producing and doing the phone, so just keep on hold for a second, is that the teams are traveling from state to state to play these games. They are going to areas that could have hotspots, areas that have an outbreak that we're not expected of. Teams at other universities that may have an outbreak, you never know the day of a game. And the testing hasn't caught up to that. There's so many risks and so many unknowns that go into it. I do personally think that there is no right answer to what college football and even high school football being played as. I think it's irresponsible. I really do. But can I say for sure that it shouldn't happen, especially with the guidelines being put in place? Because we see how the NBA is handling it. Now, that is a bubble aspect, whereas you look at Major League Baseball, and there are plenty of games that have been having to have postponed because of coronavirus outbreak. And I think that's the one you've got to look at. If these teams are traveling to Tuscaloosa and Lexington and Gainesville and Nashville, it's just risky. And for kids that aren't getting, you know, paid to do this, and you could say, well, there's a scholarship and these kids want to play. I don't know how many people are saying we should listen to the kids that in that they want to play compared to when they say that they want to make money off of their likeness or off of jersey sales or any revenue that they bring in. I mean, you can't have it both ways, in my opinion on that. But I can't say that not having college football is wrong. I think all the risks are there. I think they're all prevalent. But when you have parents of high school teams and high school players, and you have parents of college football players, and they know the risks and they see that, I'm not sure if that is the absolute judge of whether or not we should have college football, but I do think it shows that maybe there's more of a gray area than just play and not to play. And that's the way I see it. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. Coming up next, I'll be taking your calls at 381-1313. And also, we're going to talk a little bit about the Kenny Payne hiring with the New York Knicks. And like I said, we're going to get into an NBA playoff preview here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. Don't go anywhere. West Coast, feel me. Can you feel us? Dirty South. Dirty, dirty. Can y'all really feel me? Feel it. East Coast, feel me. Angelo Carriero back here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. Don't want to waste any time getting to my good buddy and fellow Chicago Cub fan, Dennis from Berea, here on the line. By the way, you can give me a call at 381-1313. I'll put you on hold and I'll get you on the air. This is, of course, an all callers welcome show. Dennis from Berea. Dennis, how are you doing this morning, my man?
I'm doing good. You know, we were talking a little bit about the Cubbies. You know, David Ross has proven a lot of people wrong. If you look at Joe Maddon's record now and Joe Girardi's record now, I mean, David Ross definitely, you know, was the right choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the team started off 13-3. And I don't know if you felt this way, Dennis. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. But I said that this team, the way it's built, and honestly the way it's been built for years, is much more suited for a 60-game sprint than a 162-game marathon.
Oh, I totally agree. If we can only make baseball a 60-game season, it'd be great.
Oh, the Cubs would pass the Yankees in World Series with the roster that we have for that. It's just that the Cubs are just such a high top-end talent team, and the starters are great. But once you start looking at the foundation, it's like a beautiful house, and then it's like, well, there's mold here, the electrical's, you know, faulty here, there's lead in the paint. It starts getting worse the deeper you look at it.
Yeah, especially with that bullpen. I mean, you know, this is definitely bullpen by committee time. I mean, Rossi did put Kimbrel out there for one inning, and yeah, he did great. But is he really your answer? You know, you're going to either have to eat the cost, which more than likely you're going to have to, and look for a top-notch closer.
I agree. I think especially what we were beginning to see from Kimbrel last year, everybody was like, always washed up. Cubs signed him for 3 years, $45 million. And I think the way that language is structured, it might be more of a two-year, but I'd have to look that up. But he's just not – there were times where he looked electric with his stuff, and there are times where his ball was flat, it was in the middle of the zone, and he blew it. And he's just, like you said, if you're trusting this guy with your season on the line, I don't know how you can do it, and especially with the playoff format that Major League Baseball is going to. I tell you what, the bullpen for this play, I think the team – and it's like this a lot. If you look at the Cleveland Indian team that the the Cubs beat in 2016. They had the league's best bullpen, and I think that's going to be the thing that wins you the World Series in this one. And it's sad to say, because the Cubs, just like a lot like the Reds, they don't have it.
No. But now my question is about, okay, you know, with the SEC season coming up, are they going to allow fans in the stands? And if so, how is UK going to handle tailgating?
From my knowledge, when we talked on the phone before you came on, is that tailgating's a no-go. From what I've seen, let's see. I'm looking it up right now, and according to around June 25th, there were a couple articles written about the SEC considering no tailgating at football games this season. I think that there's a way to do it. You like the 6 feet rule. You have your space, and you reduce the number of vehicles that can come in, and you have them, you know, six lengths apart, however you want to do that. Dennis, I just don't see it. I think they're going to say thanks, but, you know, we're glad that you want to come, but it's just not safe enough. Do I think that's going to stop people from tailgating? I think they'll do it at their homes. They'll have parties for games and whatnot. I think people miss each other, man. Like, people just miss hanging out with each other. And I think if college football gets played in the University of Kentucky, and there's Saturdays where it's 63 degrees and the sun's shining, man, you're not going to keep people from being around each other. But I do think that the University of Kentucky, if not getting rid of it completely, will definitely do something to reduce capacity size by a lot. And it's just a social thing. You know what I mean, man? It's just a social gathering. And when you have that many people in one place, it's impossible to get them to follow all the rules.
Right. Also, with Kenny Payne going to New York, that's going to be a matchup right there, him and Thibodeau. Talk about good coach, bad coach here. I mean, if you know Tibbs, I've watched Tibbs when he coached the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, he's nothing but fire and brimstone. And I mean, he makes a serious backwoods Baptist minister, you know,
he
jump
does
up and down for joy.
Yeah, he does.
But, you know, Kenny Payne is just really, I mean, I've seen Kenny Payne get mad. I mean, we all have, you know. But I just can't see Kenny Payne and him, like, you know. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, Kevin Knox has to be really super happy. Julius Randle has to be happy.
Kevin Knox better be happy. Yeah, because he needs all the help they can get. Dennis, by the way, thank you for calling. That's what I'm actually going to hit that for just a second. Thanks so much for calling, man. Glad you enjoyed the show.
Take care.
You too, buddy. Bye. So, Kenny Payne getting hired by the New York Knicks was really interesting for none other than this reason. Like I said, I heard that the news went down listening to an NBA radio show, and I just simply thought it was a guy that wanted the challenge of the NBA. That's what, you know, generally coaches have that itch, and they scratch it and stay. Brad Stevens is an example, or they scratch it and they go back to college. Look at Rick Pitino. Look at John Calipari. Look at what happened to John Beilein this year. I thought for the longest time John Beilein was the most underrated coach in NCAA basketball, and then all of a sudden he pulls something like he did with the Cavaliers, and he was out before the season ended. So there are situations where when guys become head coaches, that doesn't work. Well, then I started listening to a podcast, and I'm a little curious to see what the Knicks' plans are, because Bill Simmons simply was saying, yeah, the Knicks are going to take all of the Calipari guys. Because of Calipari's connection to Leon Rose and World Wide West, that's essentially what they were planning for. This podcast was recorded on Sunday, okay? This about Kenny Payne or about Leon Rose and World Wide West and the John Calipari connection. So the New York Knicks are essentially loading up to get Kentucky guys even before they hired Kenny Payne. Now that they hired Kenny Payne, if you peruse Twitter, you will see all of the former players saying how much they loved Kenny Payne, that he was the reason why they went to Kentucky, and that they were so happy that he got a job in the NBA. Do I think that an assistant coach is going to swing players into making the New York Knicks Kentucky Northeast? Not necessarily. Do I think that the combination of Leon Rose, World Wide West, and Kenny Payne, now with what everybody's kind of been saying about that combination, what that means for former Kentucky players? I truly think that means that they have a plan. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. You can give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. I do think that the New York Knicks have a plan to get some of these Kentucky guys. Now, who are they going to get? I don't know. Because Devin Booker signed his extension. Karl Anthony Towns signed his extension. John Wall signed an extension. Anthony Davis, I would put life savings that he stays with the LA Lakers, barring some maybe discomfort in Lakerland, which I think will kind of open up the further we get into the playoffs. And speaking of the playoffs, you'll want to stick around for the end of the show, or actually for the next segment where I do an NBA playoff preview for the playoffs as they start tomorrow, quadruple header, starting at 1:30 tomorrow. And we will have it right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM, the home of the NBA playoffs. But I am curious as to whether or not they have trade targets in mind. Karl Anthony Towns, spoiler alert, is not going to stay in Minnesota his entire career. He's not. He is going to be one of those superstars that gets traded. And that's my opinion. I don't think he's going to be able to cut it out there long-term happiness-wise. I've always pegged the Celtics as the team. I think his Dominican Republic connection with David Ortiz, that's kind of loosely what I build that around. I think that the Celtics have kind of a history of welcoming in, the way they did David Ortiz. I think Kat sees that as someone who looks up to David Ortiz and kind of has that in the back of his mind. But if he loves Kenny Payne, he loves World Wide West, and he loves Leon Rose, and he wants to be the big money man in New York City, that I can see from Kat. That I can see. And I could see him being a trade target. If Devin Booker somehow becomes uninterested in playing for the Phoenix Suns, that I can see. De'Aaron Fox is still on a rookie contract. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander still on a rookie contract. PJ Washington still on a rookie contract. It's just interesting that they chose now as the time to get all these Kentucky connections, but that's just something to look out for here in the future. Other news that we can hit on. Obviously we're talking about the bubble. With the NBA bubble, I think that, when we're looking at the most valuable players of the bubble, we've got Devin Booker, of course. We've got TJ Warren, who played out of his mind there for a stretch of games. You even have like some of the stars like Luka Doncic and James Harden. But obviously, this entire playoff setup is Dame time. It was Dame time, and it was wonderful. Anybody that got to catch Damian Lillard do his thing, it was something special. Now, do I think Devin Booker had a case for being the MVP of the bubble? His team went 8-0. There's nothing more that Devin Booker could have done to help his team get into the position that he had him before the Portland Trailblazers won that game against the Brooklyn Nets, which, by the way, fantastic basketball game in case you missed it. But this is what Damian Lillard did. Damian Lillard had two three-game stretches of this year of over 50 points per game. From January 20th to January 26th, he had 52.7 points per game and a three-game stretch of 51.3 points per game, and that was the last three games out of the bubble. Of course, the whole thing that I talked about last week with the Paul George and the Patrick Beverley drama that they had, where Damian Lillard missed two clutch free throws, which was, I guess, just the opposite of clutch. He missed them. And they clowned Damian Lillard for it. And Damian Lillard is as cutthroat of an on-court player as this game has ever seen. And he really proved it. If he wouldn't already nationally came out after that huge shot that he hit against Paul George, he's a household name now. Like, Damian Lillard is on that top 10 superstars just by name in the NBA now. People know who Damian Lillard is. I think he was totally deserving to be the MVP of the bubble, or the MVP, the most bubbly player. He was absolutely fantastic, and we're going to get into his chances at facing the Lakers here next. But one thing before we talk about the NBA playoffs, I wanted to say, if you haven't gotten a chance to find on social media, go to Twitter and just type in Alex Smith, or Instagram and type in Alex Smith, and look at his family celebrating the fact that he was cleared for football activities after almost getting his leg amputated and risking his life through his damaged leg and what was going on with the complications there. The picture of his leg is on the internet. I wouldn't suggest looking that up, but I would suggest looking up the fact that Alex has worked so hard to bring himself to the point where he could be cleared for football activities. Will he ever play again? I doubt it. But just that he got to the point where he succeeded in his rehab to continue living his dream of being an NFL quarterback, it is heartwarming. And to see his family celebrate with him, his little kids, his wife, his in-laws, who else was there, it is beautiful. And I think it's super relatable for any of us that have gone through anything. I actually had a friend that just told me that his dad had cancer, and they gave him a 15% chance to live back in January, and his dad's still around. And you hear stories like that, and it's just so heartwarming to see, in a world where we're so bogged down by reality, that sometimes these little moments of glory, of miracle happen. And congratulations to Alex Smith. Look up the video. It's very heartwarming. Like I said, previewing it the whole time, when I come back, we're going to break down the NBA playoffs and who I think is going to come away with the NBA championship. And you can call in, talk about the NBA playoffs with me. 381-1313. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300-92.5. Welcome back to ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5 FM. Angelo Carriero with you on this beautiful Sunday morning here in downtown Lexington. Give me a call at 381-1313, 381-1313. I'll discuss anything with you under the sports sun. Of course, there were some major happenings last night in Major League Baseball, the UFC, NHL, the NBA, the Portland Trail Blazers locked up the 8th seed. Just so they can have a sweet little contest with the Los Angeles Lakers. Obviously, the big college football news. Kenny Payne going to the New York Knicks. There's a ton of stuff that happened, but nothing right now is getting me going more than the start of the NBA playoffs, which quadruple headers start tomorrow. And if you didn't know, you know, you better call somebody. You can call me, 381-1313, because ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM is your home for the NBA playoffs here in Central Kentucky. So look no further on your dial when you're out riding around and getting it. You can just call us here. And speaking of someone that has been getting it, I want to go ahead and break down the NBA playoffs in the way I see it, okay? The way that I see, pretty much I'm going to give you my prediction for the NBA champion by the end of the show. And this year, let's start in the Western Conference, because I don't think there's been a better slate of matchups for the Western Conference first round that we've had. Maybe, I want to say at least since 2011, back when you had Oklahoma City and San Antonio and Dallas, and the Lakers were still holding on with like Kobe and Powell and Dwight and all that. Man, that was such a fun time in the Western Conference. Well, we're still back here, and to the point where the most boring game, I guess the quote unquote boring, the most boring games are maybe the one with the hottest storyline of like the Russell Westbrook and James Harden with the Rockets and Thunder and whatnot. But I want to start with the Lakers and Trailblazers, because this one is so intriguing to me for multiple reasons. But the top reason is simply because of Dame time. I can't remember the last time we had a superstar that was this hot going into the playoffs. And actually, there was a statistic. No player in NBA history had ever scored 40 points in their last three games going into the last three games of the season. Damian Lillard's the first one. So technically, from a scoring standpoint, we have never seen a player this hot going into the playoffs. You know, not to be blasphemous, but Dame's—he's on God mode right now. He is on such a special tier of basketball player. I'm trying to think, he's the only player to have 360-point games, 360-point games in a season other than Wilt Chamberlain. Like I said earlier in the show, you can follow me at Angelo Media Lex for little tidbits like this. He has had two separate three-game stretches of averaging 50-plus points. The guy is absolutely bananas. And a lot of people want to pick the Trailblazers over the Lakers because, well, the Lakers finished last in the bubble in scoring. They can't hit a three to save a game. Yet, with everything being considered, and apparently there's some stuff going on in Lakerland behind the scenes. I can't get into too much details, for I don't know a ton about what's going on. But a little tidbit of information I heard this week, as well as some LeBron James quotes out there, that something's not right off the court, and that has me genuinely curious to what's going to happen with that franchise if they lose early on in this playoffs, which I may be predicting here in a little bit. But against the Trailblazers, this just isn't the team to beat LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They've been the best. The Lakers have been the best defensive team in the NBA because of their big men, because of some of their perimeter play. Now, yes, they don't have Avery Bradley. Rajon Rondo still hasn't come back. But when LeBron James gets into the playoffs, he takes it up a step. And the last time Anthony Davis saw Portland in the playoffs when he was a Pelican, he swept them. If you give me Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard versus Zach Collins and Yusef Nurkic, I'm taking AD and the two bigs every day of the week. If you give me Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, obviously I'd take them over the Lakers backcourt, but Dame or LeBron, as much as I love what Dame's doing right now, and he is a killer, LeBron James is a different guy. He is a different guy in the playoffs. I am taking the Lakers to beat the Trailblazers. And before I thought it was going to be a sweep, I actually do think it's going to be a tad bit tougher on the Lakers than imagined. So I was going to say a sweep, but I'm going to give Dame a little bit of respect here, and that the Trailblazers are rolling while the Lakers not. I'm going to say this series is going to six games. So I'm going to say the Lakers win in six. Which isn't that far-fetched when you think about the Golden State Warriors when they were a one seed against the Clippers just last year before Kevin Durant went on a supernova that to me established him as the best player in the NBA before he ruptured his Achilles. That guy went to another level, and we forget how special Kevin Durant is. I cannot wait to see him in Brooklyn next year, and they're likely going to be my finals favorite coming out of the East. But that's neither here nor there for now. Clippers versus Mavericks. What makes this so much fun is that you have an unbelievable, unlike anybody else in the game, superstar in Kawhi Leonard versus a guy that's another unbelievable, unlike anybody else, a foreign 21-year-old kid that's averaging 29 points a game and is a most improved player, can almost averaged a triple-double for the season, which is just unbelievable. But I think that the Clippers are a complete, they're a kryptonite for any team, I think, other than maybe the Lakers in the terms of the way that they play. Their wing defense, their ability to hit the three-pointer, their overall depth on their bench. I think that this team right now is looking about as good as they would hope to before the season when they acquired Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I'm actually taking the Clippers in a sweep over the Dallas Mavericks. I'm taking the Clippers in four games over Dallas. Nuggets-Jazz. This one's unbelievably fun to me in a very nerdy basketball way because these teams are not making the finals. I'm saying that right now. Denver, Utah, not making the finals. But they are the classic just below that tier of team. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch Nikola Jokic, he's special. He's so fun to watch. And it's just like Donovan Mitchell is for the Jazz, and how Rudy Gobert is the stifle tower. Yet, you know, they got Jamal Murray for Denver and his score. They're the Spider-Man meme of pointing to each other. They are the exact same team in so many ways, to the point that both teams finished. This is a real stat. Both teams finished with 111.3 points exactly. Both teams were identical in points. And being without Bojan Bogdanović is really going to hurt the Nuggets. I think this series goes 7 games, but I am going to give the Nuggets the edge in terms of scoring. I think they've got a little more firepower in their arsenal, and I think they come away with the win. Rockets Thunder. Last one on this one. I think that the Russell Westbrook injury, if he does not come back to play this series, the Thunder do have a chance to win. I sincerely think that. By the way, this is ESPN Sports Radio 1300, 92.5. Give me a call at 381-1313. That's 381-1313. Angelo Carriero with you on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning from 10 to 11. The Russell Westbrook injury, the whole reason why they traded Clint Capella and acquired Robert Covington and went completely small ball was essentially for Russell Westbrook to open up the paint for him so he could eat in a way that he has never eaten before. And boy, did he. Boy, did he. He was scoring 32 points a game pre-NBA shutdown on like 52% shooting from the field. He was absolutely insane. And now that they only have James Harden, it's going to be up to a guy like Austin Rivers to really be able to start creating points on his own. And it's time to live up to that Austin Rivers name, to being a 5-star prospect, to being the 10th overall pick of the NBA draft. It's time for him to really, and he scored 40 points the other night. It's time for him to truly step up, and they're going to need him to. If Westbrook comes back to play, I definitely give the Rockets the edge. The Thunder are a great, solid team. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to have a mini breakout party here in the playoffs. But as much as it pains me to say it, James Harden's just too good. He really is. I have the Rockets winning in 6. And yes, that is all chalk. That's teams 1 through 4 in there. So I have the Lakers as a 1 seed moving on. The Rockets as a 4 seed moving on. The Clippers as a 2 seed or moving on. And the Nuggets as a 3 seed moving on. A little less contentious here in the Eastern Conference. Bucks Magic is going to be a little more competitive than the Bucks demolition of the Pistons last year. The Magic actually, and I don't know, you can, sometimes life has things we don't have answers for, and the Magic scoring the most points in the bubble, or at one point were the team leader in points per game in the bubble. You can explain it. You can try to explain it to me any way you want. I don't get it. But I think that has a chance to where the Magic can steal a game from the Bucks, but I'm going to go safe here. I think Giannis is a little PO'd. I really do. I think that the Bucks are just too talented, and they're going to be too much on a mission, especially with the way they kind of closed out the bubble with a whimper after they secured the number 1 seed. I'm going to go Bucks in 4 on that, with a chance of Bucks in 5. Riveting, riveting stuff. Raptors Nets. I actually have the Nets taking game. I don't know if you all actually watched the game yesterday, or not yesterday, excuse me. The game the other night with Portland and Brooklyn, but my goodness, was it fun. It was awesome because the Brooklyn Nets played hard. The other teams didn't show up for the other games, which gave Phoenix and Memphis their way right up to almost knocking the Blazers out of the playoffs. But Brooklyn came out, played as hard as they could. They play like a team. And they play like a team that respects and knows their coach. So I'm actually going to give them a game here. But the Raptors have been arguably the most impressive team of the bubble. I'm going to have the Raptors in 5. Celtics Sixers. I actually have this on a sweep. I'm going with the Celtics in 4. I can't trust the Sixers. I love Joel Embiid. He is awesome in the playoffs when he's on the court for him. Cannot trust this team at all. I don't know what to think about him. Ben Simmons isn't playing. Good luck. And then Heat Pacers is really interesting. The Pacers are going to be without Domantas Sabonis, but TJ Warren has emerged as a superstar. The Miami Heat, I'm always really questionable about them from a night-to-night basis. Sometimes I think they can beat anybody. Sometimes I think that they just are too many pieces short or too many cards short of a full deck, to be honest. I'm going to go... You know what? This is just a bias for me. I love Bam Adebayo. I think he's a superstar, or he's going to be a superstar. I'm going to have the Heat take this series in seven games. I think that old grit and grind style of ball that they play. I might be speaking from the heart here, but sometimes you got to go with it. I'm taking the Miami Heat. So I've got the 5-seed Heat versus the 1-seed Bucks, and I've got the 3-seed Celtics versus the 2-seed Raptors. Chalk except for the Heat. When we come back, I'm going to give you my NBA championship. So go nowhere and stay right here with Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. This is Angelo Carriero on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5 FM. I went a little long as I usually do. We only have a couple of minutes. I told you I'd give you an NBA champion, so here it goes. This is how I see the NBA playoffs shaking out. Lakers versus Rockets in a 1-4 matchup. This is going to be my hottest take, arguably, of the year. If Russell Westbrook's healthy, the Rockets will win that series. I do honestly believe that. I think that they've shown that they can beat teams that play a bigger style of basketball. The Lakers will have to prove that they can shoot threes, and they just simply haven't. And honestly, what's going on with the Rockets have worked, and I've just bought in. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm taking the Rockets in seven if Russell Westbrook is healthy and plays the series. So I'm taking Rockets there. Against the Clippers Nuggets, I think that's going to be a really fun series. I am going to take the Clippers in five. I'm going to take the Clippers in five there. I think that the Clippers are, as you'll see here soon, I think they're the team to beat in this tournament. The Bucks versus Heat, I'll give the Heat a quote-unquote home win. I could easily see this being a sweep for the Bucks. Yes, I do believe in the Bucks to that extent. I think Giannis is incredible, and I think they're going to get it together. Celtics-Raptors, I'm going to take the Raptors in six games. I don't think Jason Tatum's ready for the spotlight. I know he had a really good stretch there before the NBA shut down. He's really looked uncomfortable in big moments. That's why you have Kemba Walker, though. That's why you have Gordon Hayward. And honestly, Jaylen Brown doesn't get talked about enough as the other superstar of that team. Jason Tatum has, for some reason, he gets all the publicity, while Jaylen Brown is arguably the more complete player, and dare I say the better player, when you're talking about all facets of the game. But they are a great combination. The Celtics will be a championship contender once they acquire Karl Anthony Towns one day. But until then, it'll be good to see those two wings grow together. But I'm going to take the Raptors there. At this point, the Rockets and the Clippers are playing in my Western Conference Finals. I am going to take in that contest the Clippers in six. Just like in the Bucks-Raptors, I am going to take the Bucks in six. I do think the Raptors are very, very talented. They've done a great job of defending their title as NBA champion. I just think that the Bucks are going to be too much. And now we get a rematch only this year in the NBA Finals of Kawhi and Giannis. The Bucks and the Clippers. I've got the Los Angeles Clippers winning in five games. Yes, five games. I think that the Clippers are absolutely studded from the depth of their roster to the superstars that they have. That for their ensemble of players, they have awesome three-point shooting. They can go small. They can go big. They've got Lou Williams as a creative scoring guard. They've got Patrick Beverley, who's a nuisance, obviously. But it all comes down to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard's an absolute superstar. He looks dynamite. Love what the Bucks did this year. I do think they make the NBA Finals. I do think that Giannis plays better in the Finals this year. But I think that the Los Angeles Clippers are destined, as unlikable as they may be, to be this year's NBA champion. This has been Angelo Carriero. Thank you so much, guys, for joining me this morning. And I hope you join back in from 10 to 11 next week. You can join me right here on ESPN Sports Radio, 1300, 92.5 FM. Take care.